Hello, I'm Elizabeth Bonkink.
I'm Andrew Paul.
And we're the hosts of the Well Endowed Podcast.
The Well Endowed Podcast is produced by Edmonton Community Foundation, or ECF as we call it.
ECF provides grants to charities through the endowment funds we create and manage with our donors.
Hence the title of our show, The Well Endowed Podcast.
Every month, we bring you a collection of stories and interviews with fascinating guests who are working to make Edmonton a strong, vibrant city to live in.
Through these stories, we look at the space where endowments intersect with your communities.
So if you're interested in the people and issues impacting your community, check out thewellendowedpodcast.com.
With PodPower, our sponsors are making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. This episode, Edmonton Community Foundation is helping us give a PodPower shout out to Book Women. Book Women is a podcast about editing, publishing, and writing Indigenous stories. Three Métis librarians representing nations from across the homeland aim to inspire Indigenous peoples to share their story in whatever form that they enjoy. Guests include Indigenous storytellers from diverse mediums like podcasting, burlesque, books, comics, social media, films, music, and everything in between. You can listen and find out more at bookwomenpodcast.ca. Stephanie Wolf.
Hi, Karen Johnson Diamond. How are you?
I'm really good, Stephanie Wolf.
Can I just say that the ad that everyone just heard sounds so interesting.
I know. Book Women?
I want to get my dog and my skates on and go skate my dog and listen to that right now. And the reason I say skate my dog is that if you're listening to this and you don't know where I am, I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada in December, and it's just been nothing but freezing rain, and literally people are actually skating on the streets. It's bonkers.
I saw our friend John Ulliott just like seriously, because they haven't sanded or salted the residential areas, just his skates on with like, he's not even tripping on things.
Nope.
It's just crazy.
It's a beautiful smooth ice rink, the kind that everyone wants in their backyard, but it's everywhere.
Oh, and that hasn't changed at all in the days since it
fell? The main streets are really good. I mean, it's just that it fell like three nights in a row. All the trails are still solid ice. Our sidewalk, my son spent over an hour 2 days ago just hacking away at it. So you'll get these little stretches where people have cleared it themselves, but then it's just madness. It's just, it's mayhem.
It's a freezing rain too.
Yeah.
So climate change has our Decembers being like zero on this day and minus 12 on this day and minus 40 on this day and then plus three. And
yeah,
we get freezing rain and then it freezes and then it's a
I
mess.
Keep thinking there's going to be some kind of weird innovation products for this whole new world that of climate, and I'm wondering what it's going to be. Like, I've already got pokey things under all my boots, and
right,
I just, you know, it's going to be kind of things like, you know how you could get those basketball shoes and skates that you can pump them now, and they fit perfect. I bet you there'll be maybe some kind of thing where you can press a button and your spikes come out of your boots.
Your cleats come out.
And if someone didn't make that, they should make that, because I think I need that.
Well, I know you can get the slip-on, like, you know, our dads used to wear back in the day rubbers. We used to call them rubbers.
Yeah.
But you'd step into these little black things that would surround your shoes, but they have those with cleats now.
I've got that kind. Yeah, me too. I've got the chains, I got the cleats, and I got the little pokey ones, depending on the day. Because, I mean, like, again, anyone who lives in the north knows that not all ice is created equal. And you just need different kinds of things for different. It's crazy.
We haven't had it that bad. We had a dump of snow the other day. I mean, it stayed everywhere, but then they sanded and it's all beautiful now. So my mom is driving right now from Edmonton to Calgary.
Okay.
So I'm glad that it cleared up.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess what I'm scared of is about every now and then a picture will pop up on those, you know, those yearly, this is you last year things. And I had my broken arm from falling on the ice last year. So I'm really, I'm really triggered by it, Karen.
Oh, no. But seriously, you have to be so careful.
You do. And one doctor that I was following along on Twitter was saying he's treating so many patients from 2 weeks ago's falls and accidents. So just to be so careful. I found like grandma ice pick here, but
I'm grandma ice pick. I'd like you all to be very careful. Bring your own salt. And
I'm grandpa. Don't go outside. I just stay inside. I have a blanket on my lap.
Hello, come on in. I'm not coming out.
Well, I'm going to stay in with Grandpa and we're going to watch Netflix tonight.
We're going to watch a documentary about ocean life.
And how all of the animals are dying. Oh, God. It's just gloom and doom.
Well, I have the most exciting thing to read to you.
Ooh.
The most funny thing to read to you. This is an email I got the other day.
Ooh.
I feel really strongly about its validity.
You've got my curiosity piqued.
This okay. came from no.reply@ebay.com. And I am a member of eBay. I have been using eBay. So I went, oh, okay.
Yep.
This one says, thank you for being a valued member of eBay. In order to complete our verification process, we are asking you, I cannot believe this, we are asking you to provide a front and back of your photo ID, such as a passport or driver's license or national ID card.
Oh, no.
Your ID will be used to validate the identity information you provided previously. We also request that you upload a copy of a recent bank statement so we can verify your bank details.
Oh, no.
Until you provide us with this documentation, your payouts are on hold. If your eBay account information does not match your ID exactly, we also ask that you update any information that differs from your ID. Please ensure the ID document you provide includes your full name, legal name, and ID number, and your date of birth. And additionally, the document you provide needs to be current, in color, contain the full document with nothing cropped, contain the complete MRZ code if you're providing a passport, contain the front and back of the ID document if providing a driver's license or a national ID card.
Jesus.
Be an official government-issued card.
Now they're trying too hard. Like, they should have stopped earlier and say you might have caught a few people, but by now it's like, ah, shut up.
Oh, wait. Also, please upload a bank statement that includes the name and address of the account owner or business entity, includes the bank name, includes transaction details, lists the bank account number, which must match the bank account number on file with eBay, and be less than 3 months old.
Oh my God, can you? And the sad part is there's going to be people who panic and do it. And that's the sad part, because otherwise they would stop because it doesn't work. People don't do this.
Kevin and I were just killing ourselves laughing. Make sure that it includes your birth date, the bank account details. Like I could not
like,
believe it.
Come on. Oh, but you know, that's the thing is like it works because otherwise they wouldn't do it.
And there's a link to upload all your documents.
Well, I admit. And this is part of it too. Like when you go through your emails and you're just going, you gotta get through whatever, how many hundred of them, and you're just kind of getting through shit and answering things quick and doing shit fast. And I fell for a mini little one. It said, because we've been ordering, you know, everybody's been ordering a lot online over the last year and it's Christmas time. And so I'm waiting for a couple things. And one of them said, I should have saved it. I got mad and I deleted it. I was like, what did I do that for? It was Canada Post. And usually when they have like little green arrows or something, you know right away, that's not Canada Post. But anyway, it looked legit enough and I clicked on it and it said, it looked very much like the font of Canada Post, which I recognize from having had deliveries lately in the last year, a lot of them. And so I kept reading down and it said, we have this picture of your parcel. Your name is on there, but we only have your email. Your address isn't on there and blah, blah, blah. We haven't been able to deliver it. Please click here and verify your name and give us your address. And it had a picture of a thing, but the picture was kind of out of focus. Wasn't my first clue, but I thought, you know how they take a picture when they deliver it to your door? So I thought, oh, they've got a picture of it. And I'm waiting for about four things. Okay. So I pressed the link and then the question started. And then it was like, oh, come on. And it was like, if you pay $3 now, we can deliver it by the end of the day. If not, we're going to have to charge you the back pay, which was the duties, which was 55, blah, blah. They had all these odd numbers too, like 55, 74. So it looks more legit. And the total was, if I didn't send them the $3, was going to be like 107.56 or something for duties. And all. And I was like, no, okay, got it.
That's not falling for it. That's examining it. You didn't fall for it.
Well, I kind of went down that hole, but then I thought, yeah, and that's a brilliant thing, right? Because if they get, you know, 30 people in a day not falling for that or whatever, how, and they're doing that to thousands of people, like they're going to make, it's just phishing, right? It's just numbers.
So 100,000 people go, okay, here's my $3, deliver it today.
Yeah. They've got a whole bunch of money and a few people. Yeah. So
chipping away at the scammeroonies. And like our friend Frank Abagnale from Catch Me If You Can, when he first said, you know, it's easier now than ever. You don't have to do it in person anymore. Like I had, it's like kind of frightening. Oh, you scammers.
You scammers. Stop it. This is Grandma and Grandpa Don't Scam.
My son, the other day, I was telling him about, you know, one of the ones I was reading or whatever. And he said, well, I mean, at least people can't say they're doctors anymore. I'm like, no, but they can. And he's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, he's like, ah, oh, that's weird. I know. Like, here's a brick wall, hun, and do what I do. Smash, 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 smash.
This is Granny and Grandpa head in
smash
wall.
Smash a face. Head in wall. Oh, my God.
Hey, let's talk about some scams.
Let's do eat.
I don't know who has to go first.
Okay, I don't know either.
Rock, paper, scissors. Ready?
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Which one do you have?
You can cut my paper, so you get to choose.
Oh, no. Okay. Mine is actually kind of short. Okay. So do you want to go first, and I'll just finish off with
I think mine ended up being short, too. I know I told you I picked a really big one, and I did.
It was bigger than you think.
It's a broad topic, but I don't think it's going to... Just go first.
Okay.
Just do it.
I shall.
Unless that it was your choice. Unless you hate that, I'll go first.
Let's do rock, paper, scissors.
No, you get to decide.
Let's do rock, paper, scissors to see if I want to decide. Okay. All right, I'll go first. Now, this one, it is kind of broad, too. Kind of get pulled in by the stories of a person and the whole, like, movie version of the scam. This is more of a thing that's happening, and there's a couple of examples, so it's interesting. I'll just start off with my sources. Once again, it's the Perfect Scam. I've been listening to it, and they do all the homework, which is great. So thanks, Perfect Scam, and then I just retell what they told.
That's another podcast, right? Perfect Scam?
Yeah, the Perfect Scam. It's AARP, and they have lots and lots of money, and they get, like, real guests, and they talk to the real people, and so it's great. And their co-host is our friend Frank Abagnale, who we've never met. He's their actual co-host.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he doesn't go through the whole thing, but he usually has stories at the beginning, at the end. He sort of pops in and, you know, verifies things. And so that's kind of cool to hear his take on things. And he's always so chill. He's always so kind of like, you're surprised? You know, he's adorable. And what else? Oh, the NBC News and FBI.gov website is another source. And those are my sources. Okay, so story starts off with a lady named Karen. They call her Karen. They called her Karen. We'll call her Karen too. Karen too.
We don't know if she's actually a Karen, like her name is Karen, or if she's just a Karen.
Yeah, we don't know anything. But Karen, she's sort of a, you know, middle class lady who's taking care of a kid. She's sort of in the point of her life where she's sort of a stay-at-home mom right now, driving her kids around, and she drops them all off at school. She goes to a spin class, and she gets out of her spin class, and she's driving home, and she gets a call, and it's an unnamed call, and she said she usually doesn't answer those, but she's waiting for, and this is when it sounded like super privileged, but anyway... Sorry, it made me laugh. But, you know, it's legit. It's all relative. They had been to Palm Springs, and she left some jewelry at the Airbnb, and she was trying to get it back. And the guy that she'd been talking with had an unmarked number or whatever. So she saw that and went, oh, geez, maybe this is the guy. So she answers the phone. And it's not. It's her daughter saying, Mom, are you there? And she said, it sounded like her, and her voice was really panicked. So she went, yeah, what's wrong? And the girl said, I'm in a van and there's no windows, mom, and started to kind of cry and kind of scream. And so then she yelled, Jordan, are you all right? And there was a pause. And then the girl screams, Mom!
Oh my God, I hate this.
And so she like pulls the car over and she says, you know, just immediate, just like from her head to her toe, she was just sweating and cold and just, you know, immediately terrified. And she said she could hear a kerfuffle, like the phone being handed to someone else. And then a man's voice comes on with a thick accent. She couldn't identify the accent. She didn't know, you know, if it was Mexican or Middle Eastern. It was an accent. And she said he was really menacing and very mean. And she was like, he said, we have your child. We need, you know, X amount of thousands of dollars before within an hour, or we're going to start, you know, doing things to her, to him. He said him. And that's when she went, that was the first thing of, okay, either it's a language thing and he doesn't know pronouns, him, her, or they thought Jordan was a boy's name. And my daughter is clearly a girl. So something's not right here.
Right. Good for her.
Yeah. Like she said, immediately she went, something's wrong here. She goes, she said, so you have my son? And he said, yes. And she went, click. She went, okay, this is wrong. And she said, I immediately thought, I'm going to take the chance and hang up, but I'm going to call the school and see if Jordan's there. Because I think this was a horrible scam. But on the other hand, like, what if it isn't?
Right.
And I'm going to take the chance of hanging up because maybe they thought I went under a bridge or under a tunnel or something. And if they call back, I can say, I'm sorry. You know, I can just feign innocence. So she calls the school and they say, yeah, just a minute. She said, 5 minutes goes by and nothing. So she's now panicking, going, oh my God. Oh my God, maybe they do have her. Oh my God. And they come back on. She hangs up the phone and calls back and says, I can't wait. Like, I can't wait anymore. You have to tell me now. And they said, well, we can't find her right now.
Oh my God.
I know, right? So she's just like, oh no, what have I done? What have I done? Oh my God. Oh my God. I hope they better call me back. They better call me back. So she's freaking out. School finally gets back and goes, no, don't worry. We found her. She stayed after with the teacher to work on something. The teacher forgot to call ahead to the next thing that she was taking more time for this exam. It's all good. It's all good. She's here. She's like, okay.
She goes, did they let her talk to her? Like,
she said, don't call her. I don't want her to have a day. I don't want her to be worried or anything. But they said, yeah, no, 100%. She's with Mr. So-and-so and Mr. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. So she went to the police, and of course the police, and I'm not throwing shade on the police, but this was their reaction. And I guess this is very common. Their reaction was, well, I mean, you never gave them any money, so get over it. There's nothing we can do. So that was disappointing to her because their reaction was kind of, listen, there's nothing we can do about this. It's a number that's a phishing number and we can't trace it and nothing happens. So I suggest you just get on with your day and chalk it up to a bad moment. But she's like,
which is probably true. Like, what's our option? What could they have done better?
They could have said, I'm very sorry, ma'am. That must have been horrifying for you. Can we just talk to the school and make sure? Like, they could have done something at least.
Yeah.
Later on in the story, the FBI actually says, no, we recognize this as a violent crime. And we recognize that these people have PTSD for a very long time after. And it affects their family for days and weeks and sometimes years. Because they've, even for a moment, they said, how long is too long to believe that your child is in danger?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're now saying we're trying to, you know, train police departments to treat this as, you know, a real offense. Even if there's nothing that they can do to actually treat the people who are victims of this crime as victims, not as annoyances.
Right.
Right. There's so much to learn. Anyway, so that she ends up, you know, she starts writing letters and she ends up getting on NBC News. She gets on all the big news programs. So people, you know, she kind of was kind of vindicated and going, yeah, this is a big deal. This isn't something small.
Yeah.
And so after she talked to the FBI about it, they said, yes, the problem is that exactly what we were talking about 5 seconds ago is a lot of these calls come from out of the country. So there is no buddy that local police enforcement can go after. But so they know that they're not going to be able to get to the end of these crimes by through the court system. So they have to educate everyone and say, this is what's happening. It's increasing. If this happens to you, this is what you do. And, you know, it's been around. I mean, kidnapping, I guess, has been around. You know, it's one of the oldest professions. But this kind of virtual kidnapping is relatively new within the last 20 years or so, relatively new. So people are on to the, I'm a prince, send me money, scams more. And they're on to the, you've got drugs at the border more now.
Yep.
Like that one worked for a while. And now they overshot, right? You know, people are getting 7-10 calls a day. It's like that one's starting to wane now. But this one, it goes straight to your biggest fear.
Oh God, yeah.
And so that's what they count on, that you'll just go into fight or flight and do whatever it takes. And it works. And it's working for them in a big way. Now here's sort of the breakdown of that. On this podcast, they talked to a special agent. I'm going to see if I can say it right. Eric Arbuthnot. It's such a great name.
Arbuthnot. That's the last name? Arbuthnot?
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that right? It's cool.
And Abignale and Arbuthnot.
And Arbuthnot. I know. It's these great last names. Anyway, so Mr. Eric, special FBI guy dude, he was responsible for breaking up one of these kidnapping rings. So he tells his story about how this shook down. They were following along with some people who were victims of this, and one of them was asked to drop off their money. It was all happening around Texas and Southern California.
Okay.
And they were all kind of focused around that area. And one of them, they said, you know what, we'll, instead of an e-transfer, they said, how much money do you have? They followed up and they had called to the FBI, and the FBI said, okay, follow through. They called back again and said, how much money do you have liquid right now that you could actually drop off? And they said, $25,000 because they just want this money now. And the FBI said, yeah, tell them $25,000. Because scammer said, you have $25,000? Because usually they're going for $1,000 or $2,000, something that's easy, someone could do.
So the kidnappers are saying, yeah, you have to pay to get your kid back. How much do you have? And then we'll decide what the ransom is, for Pete's sake. Okay.
Yeah. So, but people are terrified.
Right.
They're like, how, you need cash? Can I just e-transfer?
And they're immediately thinking how much they can get.
Yeah. So these guys made the mistake of pushing it too high. And like the FBI guy said, there are rules in place that if you're Mexican living in Texas or California and you're working and you're sending money back home, that's fine. There's a certain limit. So once it gets to a certain limit, it can't be e-transferred anymore. So they said, tell $25,000 because you can't e-transfer that. They'll have to find a way to get it in cash. So they said, okay, well, you know what? We have a person. He'll pick it up at this garbage can, drop it off there. So they did the old thing that you've seen in every TV show ever. They dropped it off. The school had all these cameras. They saw this woman come and pick it up and they caught her and she spilled the beans. Here's the beans.
Okay, beans.
So usually the e-transfer things work. This was too much money. Her name was Yanette Rodriguez Acosta. And she's working for a guy named Brito Ramirez. Excuse me if I'm saying it wrong. Brito Ramirez is in prison in Mexico. And they realized, oh my God, almost all of these calls are coming out of Mexican prisons. And for about 10 years, they would only target Spanish-speaking areas. And then this one feller, Brito, he was born in Mexico. He came to U.S. as a child. He learned to speak English. He grew up in the Houston area school system, so his English is very good. Started committing a lot of crimes, got caught, wasn't a U.S. citizen, got sent back to Mexico, continued sort of living a life of crime, actually did get into kidnapping and got locked up in Mexico. He gets into this ring. They're like, hey, wait a minute. You speak really good English. You sound American. We can now call anyone we want. We don't have to just call Spanish people. So they started expanding this scam and it got freaking huge. And most of what it is they've engaged, cousins and girlfriends and stuff to record their mom. And if it's just a regular generic girl voice, and they do for boys too, but girls, people are more scared of human trafficking and all that stuff still. So they try and target daughters mostly. And they'll get, a couple thousand dollars over the phone or, e-transferred. And then they fuck off and, kiddo comes home from school and they're like, what happened? Or they go run and find them. Your kid's going to be, we're going to drop them off at the school or wherever it was. Find a way to figure. They're good at talking shit out of you. And then it's like, nothing happened. There was nothing happened that day. Like nothing. It's all done within like 20 minutes to an hour. Just boom, boom, boom. Because e-transfer is so quick, right? So they're getting, literally, these guys are making, this is what made me laugh. It'll make you laugh too. Our FBI agent said, yeah, so these guys, they're not allowed cell phones. And so it's all contraband. And they're not allowed, to have a job while they're in prison. So, but they're making about 10 grand a month, which is pretty good for an inmate. I'm going, 10 grand a month? That's awesome. Pretty good for an inmate. What?
Wait a second. That's maybe more than I make.
Wait a second here. Like, put me in jail. Come on. What the hell?
Seriously.
He's kind of going, because it's not so bad. I'm like, not so bad. But he said, you initially picture all these inmates around this, boiler room making calls. But no, they get these cell phones and they just hanging around in hallways and just making call after call after call. They can make, hundreds of calls in a day. All they need is a couple to bite, and there they go.
So now, hold on a sec. If they're not allowed cell phones.
They didn't explain that. I pictured that too. I'm like, so how do they do this? But they get them infiltrated through, someone bakes them in a cake and brings them and whatever. But
or somebody outside of prison that's working for that inmate is making the calls.
No, they get there. They're standing around the hallways making calls. People look the other way.
Oh, Jesus.
Or there's so many hundreds of people incarcerated that they don't notice a few people, just one of them's talking on the phone and there's a bunch of, like you said, they're just in the hallways talking on the phone. It's contraband. It's not allowed, but it's there. So I don't know, prisons, who knows what goes on? These are Mexican prisons, payoffs. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of different ways, but I wondered that too. I thought, well, how do they hide it then?
Yeah.
But he said, no, they're just in groups of people and some are on phones and some aren't. And they figured it out is what happened. And, So, but they know there's hundreds and hundreds of these. Like, it's huge. It's a huge scam. They're never going to crack it. They crack this one ring, which is great, but it then immediately goes to someone else. But that's why they said, we know we're not going to solve this by through the courts. We have to just educate people about this. And so then they asked our friend Frank Abagnale, are there any other kidnapping scams? This kidnapping is a big scam. And he said, yeah. He said, this is one that's happening a lot. Someone goes down to Mexico, goes to a nice resort. They sign in. The guy working behind the desk says, oh, you're our 100th person today. You win a fishing trip tomorrow. All you have to do is be up at 6 a.m. We'll get you back by 6 p.m. It's all expenses paid. There's lunch on board, blah, blah, blah. And these are like fancy resorts. And the guy said, great. So I'm thinking they're going to actually kidnap him. He'll get on board and it'll be like a horrible, you know, it'll be awful and harrowing. But no, he actually gets a great day aboard a really nice fishing boat. He gets exactly what he's told. Meanwhile, they have all of his information. So meanwhile, someone's calling home and saying, we have your husband, we have your dad, we have your brother, whatever. His name is this. He's staying at this resort. We know exactly, blah, 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 blah. If you don't give us, you know, $10,000 by the end of the day, you'll never see him again. You can't, you know, and then they'll have someone on the boat say, you know, take a picture of him when he's not looking. They'll send a picture and say, we have him on this boat. So they use this whole thing to scare the shit out of people. And
my chin is on the floor right now.
I know, because I'm such a sucker. This one I would fall for.
I would in an instant.
So then he gets back at 6 o'clock and he calls whatever. And they're like, oh my God, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I had the best day of my life. I caught a bunch of fish with a bunch of nothing with, you know,
and, so no one's ever in danger. $10,000
and the money's gone. And yeah, so it's like that one. I was like, what? You know, the guy behind the desk is being paid off by these guys. He gets a cut and there you go. And so they're saying, you know, well, no one was hurt. Well, yeah, but people were stolen from and traumatized.
Yeah, this is exactly right. Like traumatized. So right now I'm just trying to think, like if Kevin was going off to something and they called up, now, even after hearing this scam from you, I wonder if I would do it or if I'd go, I'm going to wait until tonight and see if he calls me when he's supposed to call me.
Right.
But he never calls me when he's supposed to call me.
Right. It's like, guys, this is important.
And he doesn't answer his cell and he never answers my text.
So this is from the FBI.gov, and because their whole thing about this whole kind of phenomenon, I guess, and they're calling it a kidnapping industry now, like it's an industry, is to educate everybody because they know that it's so rampant. They can't, you know, a lot of it is going to be, what do we need to know? So here's some of the stuff I found on FBI.gov, which I thought was interesting. So to avoid becoming a victim of this extortion scheme, look for the following indicators. Calls are usually made from outside area code. Many involve multiple phone calls. Calls do not come from the kidnapped victim's phone. Now that there's an addendum to that because one of the stories was from their phone. They were in the room and got the phone from the person and made the call. But most of the time it's not from their phone. Callers prevent you from calling or locating the kidnapped victim. They'll always have a story as to why you can't talk to them. They said the police always go on proof of life, so you should try to get them to, can I talk to them? Can I see them?
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. So, but they figured out ways around that. So anyway, so random money is only accepted via wire transfer service. So most of the time they want it wired through an e-thing. They said, if you receive a phone call from someone who demands payment of a ransom for a kidnapped victim, this should be considered. One, stay calm. They said that's the biggest thing is because that they count on you getting fight or flight and freaking out. They count on that emotional response. And the longer they have you online, the longer they have you sort of in this scam, they know the more you're going to go, wait a minute. Just like I finally went, $3. Wait a minute.
Canada Post.
Come on now. So they want to get you while you're still freaking. Avoid sharing information about you or your family during the call because they'll use that against you later. Like if you'll give them information, they'll say something like, if you said something like, I don't know, my house is blah, blah, blah. And they'll say later on, oh, you know what? We have someone watching your house. It's like they'll use everything you say and try and request the kidnapped victim call back from his or her cell phone. Listen carefully to the voice of the kidnapped victim. If they speak and ask questions, only they would know, which is interesting. Yeah. So I guess it's good to have a code. Banana.
I was just going to say, my boy and I have a code.
Yeah.
We had a safe word, a password.
It's like that that secret thing now that everybody knows, so they haven't been going to have to change it, but that I'm in distress thing. But that's, those are such, I think, really important things. If they don't let you speak to the victim, ask them to describe the victim or describe the vehicle they drive, if applicable. So can you describe Jordan to me? And it, you know, whatever. What is he wearing today or whatever? Like, they'll, you know, you got to try and do that. While staying on the line with the alleged kidnappers, try to call the alleged kidnapped victim from another phone. If he, that's great. Yeah. Try and call. Go call Jordan on the other phone and see if he or he picks up.
While you still have these guys on. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So that requires a lot of mime to whoever else is in the house.
Yep.
Hopefully, if you're alone, you have another phone somewhere. Attempt to text or contact the victim via social media. Get on their Facebook page or whatever if you know it. Because chances are, if it's someone you love, you have all that. You're, you know, connected with them that way. Don't directly challenge or argue with the caller. Well, yeah. Keep your voice low and steady. Now, this is such good, like, that's my shoulders. This is such good advice to me because I can just feel that. So I think that's good advice for anything is take a breath.
Take a breath.
Low and steady. If you have any questions about whether the call is extortion or a legitimate kidnapping, contact your nearest FBI, I guess here it'd be RCMP, or dial 911 immediately. So FBI is actually putting out all of this information, like, they're blasting it because this is just growing and kind of exponentially getting out of control. They said authorities have seen a new version of this scam where extortionists are calling rooms. Rooms at U.S. hotels near the border, telling guests that the hotel is surrounded by armed enforcers. Then the criminals convince the guests to leave their hotel and they will be followed and drive across the border to this Mexican-based hotel where they've already got a room waiting for them. The extortionist then convinces the victim to video call them and take a screenshot. The criminals will then send the photo to the families of the victims and convince them that their loved one is kidnapped and has been taken over the border. So they make you almost do it to yourself?
Yeah, I can't figure out what they would say that would convince me to leave my hotel room and get in the car and drive.
People do it.
It must work.
FBI is saying this is the newest form of one. It's important to note that the victims are crossing into Mexico on their own, but are doing so under the fear of death. Victims report that the threats feel frighteningly real. So
I bet.
So I guess somehow, I guess, who knows how they convince you. I mean, I would go, fuck you. Probably. I think I would do that.
I think it would do, but you never know. Yeah, exactly. Especially if I was traveling on my own.
And they're targeting nice hotels where they think people have the money that they'll be able to give them, and they somehow freak them out enough. Perpetrators will go to great lengths to engage the victims in ongoing conversations to prevent them from verifying the status and location of the kidnapped individuals, which kind of goes against they don't want to talk to you for long periods of time, because blah, blah. But anyway, callers will often make their victims believe they are being watched and personally targeted. Somehow they have ways of getting through, like just like all those other scammers we've talked, they'll in conversation pick up clues and say, well, that gray and pink top you're wearing, or, you know, like they'll be able to get information from you that you don't even know you're giving.
Right.
Like palm readers and whatnots do, and then use it against you. And that's why you go, oh, how does he know that? How does he know I'm wearing red headphones? Like, or whatever, that's their way to get confidence in you. I don't know how, I mean, I guess when you're, that's why they say do not give them any personal information, because they'll just reword it and give it back to you. And then you'll be like, what? How did you know that?
Yeah.
Callers sometimes representing themselves as members of a drug cartel or corrupt law enforcement will typically provide the victim with specific instructions to ensure safe return of the alleged kidnapped individual. These instructions usually involve demands of ransom. Most schemes are various techniques to instill a sense of fear, panic, urgency, in an effort to rush the victim into making hasty decisions. Instructions usually require payment be made immediately, typically by wire transfer. So there's just, they bank on fear of it being a loved one. Fear of losing money, I guess now is obviously less of the fear they go with people, because it's easily accessible through e-transfers now. It's that you don't have to go to the bank and take out $100 anymore.
Right.
So they go right for the fear center. Who's the most vulnerable? Who's the person you love the most? And that's who they're going to, you know, scare you with. The FBI is treating it as a violent crime. And they said it's because other scams usually don't involve the threat of someone being hurt, of fingers being cut off, was their example, and stuff like that. They talked to another family who the call said that they had their son He's an adult, but he was going to be traveling, and they weren't really sure of the details, but they had his son and they were going to start mutilating and hurting him, and blah, blah, blah. They didn't get the money and they couldn't, for some reason, get it on time. And so the guy said, okay, he's dead, and they hung up and they were terrified and, you know, terrified. They went to where his apartment was and he was making dinner. He's like, hey guys, well, I'll mix it up. I'll put on another couple burgers. Come on in.
I laugh with relief, yes. Not with...
Me too. And they sort of did too. It was like, oh, but they said that family suffered from PTSD for months after that. They said every time the phone rang, and every time they saw their son, they just grabbed, like, just, oh, I know. And so they're, you know, they're talking, which I kind of think is great. They're talking to all these families that it's happening to and saying, what goes on for you, so that we can know how to combat this, because we
know. Victim impact statement and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. So anyway, whew.
That was so engrossing.
Ah, I was surprised when I started reading this. I was like, I mean, I know this kind of shit happens, but I didn't know that kidnapping was now... I'd heard of these little things, but I didn't know how they did it.
Well, I've heard of email, like grandma gets an email saying, it's me, your grandson, I'm in Taiwan, and I've been... I've heard of those. I haven't heard about the phone calls. So I was going to say, I'm hoping that doing this podcast, like if this ever happens to us, we're wise enough to think twice about it, because we've had this... discussion.
Mm-hmm. It piqued my interest because right now it's Christmas, and for the first time in 2 years, everyone's madly traveling, and we're going to try and travel a bit too. And I thought, oh my God, right now the pickings are so ripe for these kind of guys, because they know everyone's desperate to go somewhere.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I wonder what happens when they call a number and say, we have your daughter. And the person's like, I don't have a daughter. Just click.
Right. Then they just hang up. It's just sort of like the other things too. They've got thousands. Like he said, they've got 30 million people they can call. It's just no big deal to hang up and move on to the next one, right?
I'm going
to
make my husband listen to this and say, this is why I need you to answer your phone when I call and respond to the texts. Because the boy is really good at it. The husband is terrible at it. But here's the other thing, Steph. You know, you and I are actors. We've been almost fooling the drugs at the border guys. I might go, what? What? Oh my God. Okay. Just check his diabetic pump. Like, check his insulin pump. What does it say? What does the reading say on his blood level?
That's great. That's really good.
And then if they give me a blood level reading, I'll go, fuck you.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't have an insulin pump.
That's
or something,
really good.
Right?
Things like that. Like, just to, yeah.
Does he have his leg with him? Is his leg with him, or did you leave the leg at school?
Yeah. Oh no, seriously. If you can think of things that quickly, like, I mean, what they'll probably do is just hang up. But at the same time, oh, and he said too, this is that other thing we talked about with keeping these other, you know, much more minor scammers on the phone, is because they're the only value that they have is time. Time is the only thing, because time is how they make their money. And so I feel like I'm wasting your time. I've got some time. I can do the dishes while I talk to you. I'm doing, you know, or whatever, if I can.
Yeah.
They seem to be quick to hang up these days, more quick than 5 months ago or six
really
months
quick.
Ago. But he said, there's not enough return on this for it to become something that your average scammer is going to do. That's why in prisons, it's perfect. Because what do they have? Time.
Time.
They've got so much time to do this. That's all. It doesn't matter. They can tell 1,000 calls, and if only 3 bite, who cares? They've got time, right?
Ooh. Okay, Steph, what's our safe word? You and I have to have a safe word in case anyone calls me and says, I have your podcast co-host in the back of a van with no windows.
Okay, well, we'll have to text it to each other. So if people are listening to this, they don't know our safe word.
Okay.
But seriously, it'll be like passwords and I won't remember anyone's safe word. There'd be too many of them.
I'm just going to talk to the boy later and just go, do you remember what our code word was when you were little? Because
yeah, I'm going to do the same thing.
Like if it's ever true and you yell out a code word, then I would know it's actually you.
Yeah.
If I ask you for the code word and you don't say it, then I know it's not you. Yeah.
No, seriously.
You're kidnapped in the back of a van, what are the chances you're going to remember what your flipping code word was, though?
Well, let's hope that you do. Let's hope that that fight or flight thing goes, this is why we did this. Or because it seems like, you know, when you listen to other stories and stuff, sometimes these survivor stories, they're just all of a sudden that survival mode is so crystal clear. I don't know. I haven't been, thankfully haven't been in that position. But I would hope that that part of your brain goes clarity, right? Knowing me, I just panic and start going.
I'd be like, pee.
That can work too, though, right? Like, just act like a freaking lunatic and they just don't want anything to do with you. That's probably what my brain would do.
That's exactly what my brain would do.
It blows my mind. Like, I just, that people think of this shit. And the woman's original story that bounced off this whole sort of thing about hearing her daughter say, "I'm in a van, there's no windows," and screaming, "Mom." And then the kerfuffle of someone taking the phone out of her hand. It just, that is just, that's terrifying.
Oh, God.
Terrifying.
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So beware, people, in your traveling over the Christmas holiday, over the, you know, the holiday season, for scammy kidnapping phone calls.
That's a gift from Scam Time to you and to me, is that I just did not know that they were doing these phone call, "I've got your kid" calls.
And apparently it's on the rise.
I did not know what's happening.
That's why the FBI was like, "We really want to get this out there because we know that we can't just, it's too big." They did say that most real kidnappings, he said, get in touch with your law enforcement, your national law enforcement as soon as possible. So even if nothing happened, they can log it or whatever. That real kidnapping things don't usually go on for weeks like they do in TV shows. Or so they're usually the exchange is made quite quickly. Yeah. And then they get their guy most of the time. And they also said that it's just a lot more common than people think. And they think that there's probably a lot more of these things that go on that never get reported because of the fear of God. They got their person back, like an actual legitimate kidnapping. A lot of them aren't even reported because like if it was just like in your city within your whatever, and you've got your person back and they're just like, the fear of God is in you, they don't, if you tell, blah blah blah, we'll kill you. We know where you live now, we'll come back. So it's just, I said, regardless, yeah, it's not gonna happen, people. but if it does, now you know what to do. Anyway, ta-da, that's it.
This episode of Scam Time is brought to you by Park Power, your friendly local utilities provider in Alberta, offering internet, electricity, and natural gas with low rates, awesome service, and profit sharing with local charities.
In Alberta, you get to choose who to buy your internet, electricity, and natural gas from. Park Power has low overhead, which in turn allows them to offer low competitive rates. Reach out for a no obligations comparison by emailing estimates at parkpower.ca. If you decide to switch, it's easy. It's really just a change to your billing. And you can feel good knowing you are helping to give back to our communities with your utilities bill. Learn more at parkpower.ca.
I have to say, before I toss the plate to you, that's how you do it, right? You toss a plate.
Yeah, toss the plate. Okay. Give me that dish.
Before I toss the plate. One of the other guests on that podcast was none other, I don't know if I said this earlier, but what was none other than Scott Abagnale, who is our Frank Abagnale's son, who is also an FBI agent and head of something, 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 something. Yeah, like he's a big wig in the FBI as well. And a part of his purview is kidnapping. So it's kind of exciting. They've turned into this super family, that cartoon? They're kind of like
The Incredibles?
The Incredibles. There's the Abagnales are sort of the Incredibles.
Spy Kids.
Yeah. Which is kind of, that's so cool. Anyway, so he's got a really smart son who's also a spy guy.
Oh, that's neat. I don't think I knew that.
Please to tell me what you have been listening to and reading about.
I just caught the plate.
Yes, I threw a plate to Karen all the way down to Calgary on our slippery, icy roads. It was like curling.
She skated it down.
Hurry hard. And now it's in your house.
Hurry hard. Sweep, sweep, sweep. This is not something I've recently heard about.
Ooh.
It's a hoax, not a scam.
Okay.
And it's a hoax I've been aware of since probably 1977. Mm. Mm-hmm. I'll give you my sources. Beyond Reality Paranormal Podcast.
Awesome.
There's another podcast that it's called Program Podcast, Echoes of a Century. But it looks like there's only one episode of that. But I think there's Program Podcast and then another subline. So I think Program Podcast is who I'm crediting here. Okay. But I was listening to Program Podcast, Echoes of a Century, and Talk is Jericho. These are all three podcasts.
Cool.
Wikipedia, and yes, this time I did donate to Wikipedia.
Awesome.
And the National Post. I won't tell you the name of the article. So those are my sources.
The hoax I'm going to tell you about was inspired by a conversation I had yesterday with my friend Russell Bowers at CBC Radio in Calgary. And I don't know how we got into the story, but he said, did you ever hear the story of Alice Cooper ripping a chicken apart and drinking the blood from its neck?
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I have heard that. Yes. He said, do you know that never happened? I'm like, what? And he said, years later, he came forth and said, what happened? Alice Cooper's up on stage and he's singing. And they did weird shit for sure. But while he's on stage, somebody throws a live chicken on the stage. Alice Cooper, who grew up in Detroit, has never been near a farm, went, it's a bird, it must fly. So he picked it up and threw it out into the audience. And it's the audience that ripped it apart and then threw the pieces back on the stage.
But
the rumor got out
yes.
that Alice Cooper had ripped this chicken apart on stage. And I guess he calls another musician who I can't remember. He calls another musician and says, look, this is what they're saying about me. And the other musician said, is it true? Have you told them you didn't do it? And he went, no. And he goes, don't tell anyone. Just let that rumor lie.
Because it's a good lore. Yeah.
Yeah. And it all happened before Alice Cooper was hugely famous. So it became lore. Exactly. So that's what
I get it.
triggered me thinking about this other hoax that I'm about to tell you about.
Okay, cool. I get it. Okay. Well, it's good to know that that is also a hoax.
Yep. That was a hoax. Well, that was a lie. No, I guess it was all the hoaxes are lies.
A lie.
Yeah, right. So I don't even know where to start. Like, I can't decide if I should just go, we're going to talk about this hoax and then get into it.
Or reveal it.
I'm going to see what happens if I can try to reveal it.
Okay.
Well, I'm just going to start talking and see when you guess which hoax I'm talking about, because you'll know about it too, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Let's play the game. That sounds fun.
It was a rumor that started in the UK in about 1967. And in 1967, there was a fan magazine that released an article saying that rumor's not true. Absolutely not true. And then in 1969, somebody called a radio station and said, what happens if you play this song backwards?
Okay, revolution number 9.
Yes!
It's the backwards that, because you did a really, really awesome job of sort of setting the time. So I'm picturing, okay, so mini skirts, okay. So it's like, oh, fun.
So we're going to talk about the Paul McCartney is dead hoax.
Awesome.
That's what we're going to talk
because
about.
Because even though that predates our sort of center of our teen world, even when I still hit like 17, 18, people were still talking about it and trying to do it. So.
Oh, 100%.
I'm buckling up. This is going to be awesome. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I specifically remember following the clues with my sister in about 1977 when I was about 11.
Of course. Okay. Awesome.
So Paul McCartney, a member of a band called The Beatles.
The what?
There was a band called The Beatles in the United Kingdom. Very famous. I can't believe I have to say this, but you just never know. The four Beatles, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And right now, today, there are only two surviving Beatles, and that's Paul McCartney, we think, and Ringo Starr. Hugely popular, but like from 64 to 69, and they broke up in 69 or something. So they had a really short, but a lot of stuff happened to them over their career of being the most popular band in the entire world. I don't think I'm telling anybody anything they don't already know, but if you are by any chance a listener that doesn't know the history of them, they were huge, four guys. Then there was a big relationship muck up within the band and they split. So,
well, and right now, the brand new docu-series is out there.
That's right.
And so it dives deeply into everything Beatles. So yeah.
It's called Get Back,
yeah.
I think.
Anyway, I started watching it and it is, I thought I need more time. I got it to let
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I have to watch it too.
It's huge. But yeah, so perfect timing for this.
My sister is for Paul McCartney as I am for Neil Diamond. Like insane.
Is she watching it? She must be watching
it. Oh, she's watched
it
a couple times already, I think.
A couple times already? Yeah. Oh, good for her. Awesome. Yeah.
So in 1967, so the middle of the height of their popularity, there was a rumor, I don't even know, like it's not printed anywhere, but apparently there was a rumor going around in 67 that Paul McCartney had been killed in a car crash.
Right.
Then this fan magazine called The Beatles Book, which is like a magazine that, like if you're a member of a fan club or something, you get this magazine, came out in February of 67 with an article that said it's a rumor. It's absolutely not true. That's the first printed record of anybody mentioning this rumor is The Beatles Book saying it's a rumor. It's not true. Skip forward. And in 1969,
some mysterious person calls a radio station in Detroit. And the radio station is WKNR. And the host of the show is Russ Gibb. So he gets a call from this mysterious listener who says, I want to talk about Paul McCartney being dead. And Russ Gibb's like, what? What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, no. Yeah, the rumors have been around since the 67s. And I have some clues. In fact, put on Revolution number 9. And during the part where the guy in that song is just going number 9, number 9, number 9. And apparently it's an engineer. It's not one of the Beatles saying it. If you play it backwards, see what you hear. Russ Gibb put it on his turntable backwards and heard, turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. And it was really freaky.
Yeah, that would be totally freaky, right? Yeah.
And this was on the air. People were listening to this. Gibbs said it completely exploded and the phones just rang off the hooks with people calling with other clues that they had. So heard about this and were finding clues, right? This is the first time Russ had heard about it. So jump forward to 1969. Paul Robey is a DJ on WABC. And according to the Echoes of a Century podcast, he's just been fired. He's just been told his contract is not coming up.
Ooh, that's
he's pissed off. They've said, we're not renewing your contract. You have 2 weeks left and you're gone. And he was like, I don't want to hang around for 2 weeks. So I'm going to blow the lid off everything tonight and do my own show and then walk, right? I'm going to do something that's going to get me in trouble.
Awesome.
So what he did is he just started talking about the rumor that Paul McCartney is dead on the show. And his show is like a late night show. It's like midnight to 2 a.m. or something like that. Or his show started at midnight.
Okay.
If you listen to this program podcast, Echoes of a Century, they have so many sound clips of all the radio shows. Like, it's just brilliant how much actual footage they have of these conversations.
I love
but
that.
He started talking about it and then people started phoning in and then people, you know, like he would, and he started going, okay, we only have one lady on the phone this week or tonight. So don't phone unless you have new information. If you're just calling to say, yeah, I heard that too, don't call. But if you have new rumor information, call in.
Okay.
And then I guess at 2 a.m., somebody showed up and they kicked him out of the studio and someone took over the show and went, it's all a lie. Paul McCartney's alive. Stop calling in. That guy's fired.
Okay.
So that's the lore behind Paul Robey doing this on the air.
Okay. Gotcha.
What the rumor was that in November of 1966, Paul McCartney died in a car accident.
Yes.
And that the Beatles, their managers, and apparently the British intelligence agency went, it's going to be too much of a huge shock to the world if one of the Beatles dies. It's the suicide prevention. We think girls will kill themselves if they find out Paul is dead. So we have to replace him with a lookalike. Apparently, that's what the British intelligence were saying. This is part of the rumor.
No, but it makes sense because anybody, again, most of us know these images, but if you don't, just Google it because the screaming and the yelling and the crying that would go on with these girls, even when they were right in the front row watching them, they were fainting. Out of control.
They were having seizures and crying and And Paul and John were the two favorites and stuff.
Yeah.
So the rumor is he died. They replaced him with a guy who won a Paul McCartney lookalike contest. Okay. And because at this point, when this rumor was really flying, which is 69-ish, they had stopped touring.
Oh.
Everyone was like, well, no one's seen him in a while.
Okay. Right.
In actual reality, Paul and his wife and their new baby had gone to Scotland for some time away because they had a new baby.
Imagine.
But no one had seen Paul and they hadn't had a tour. They hadn't had a concert. So everyone was starting to go, maybe it's true. And they're using this time away from touring to train this guy to sound and be more like Paul McCartney.
Gotcha.
This was the rumor. So the reason people in 69 were willing to believe this is because the Beatles had actually been known for what they called backmasking. So putting things behind in tracks or splitting tracks and one track says something, one track says anything, or actually putting stuff in that is backwards that you don't know what it is until you turn around and play it forward. And they've been doing that and people knew about it. But then they started going, maybe what the rumor believers thought was that the Beatles were feeling guilty about not telling the world. And so they started to put out clues in their albums and in pictures to tell the people, Paul's dead and this guy's an imposter.
Right.
This is what the rumor believers thought. So they started looking at every album and in every lyric for proof that Paul was dead. And in 1968, lyric analysis became a really big thing. Like lots of people were listening to music going, what's he saying there? And what does he mean about that? Et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So there's a guy who writes for a Michigan newspaper, Michigan University newspaper, who listened to Paul Robey's night of insanity. And Fred LeBoer is writing, he has to write a review of the Abbey Road album. Hmm. And he gets this idea, like, I'm not just going to do the normal review. This song was good. This song wasn't, blah, blah, blah. He decides the way he's going to review it is to talk about how he doesn't like it. Abbey Road is so different from anything else the Beatles have released that it's proof Paul McCartney has lost his songwriting mojo, which must mean Paul actually is dead. But he meant it satirically, right?
Okay, right. Okay, so he's going, well, I guess if he does this, then he probably must.
Yeah, this album's so bad, I guess he did die, was the joke. Exactly. I guess he did die. And he made up, like, when he was in that article, he started just saying shit, and they became part of the lore. But here's some of the stuff that he made up. He was the one that said that the car crash happened after Paul McCartney left a recording session really, really mad. He was the one that said it was a car accident and that Paul McCartney was decapitated in the car accident.
Jesus.
He was the one that said they've been trying to cover it up since 66, but John's been giving clues in the albums. And he's the one that named the imposter William Campbell. So all these parts of this huge rumor came out of this article, this satirical article from LeBoer, because he didn't like Paul McCartney's new songwriting. Some of the back masking that the Beatles had done was, if you listen to the song Girl, mm-hmm. there's a point in there where they just say the word tit over and over and over and over, tit, 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 tit. I don't know if it's forward or backwards, but that's something like they were just being brats and going, we're not allowed to say this word, so let's hide it in right. our song.
But you know what? That one would be the same forwards or backwards.
It's true.
It's a palindrome.
So it must be covered or it must be on a split track or something. And apparently at the end of the song, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, there was a dog whistle just to drive dogs really? Crazy when they listened to the song. So these are some of the little tricks okay. and stuff they had been doing, which made people go, oh, yeah, play maybe they fire. Are getting clues. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back to the National Post, which is one of my sources, and tell you that the article that I read was called I Buried Paul, Your Guide to the Convoluted Conspiracy Theory that Paul Mack Died in 1966. Wow. Oh, and then there was another article in 69 written by Tim Harper, who was an editor for the Drake Times Delphic in Des Moines, Iowa. And he wrote an article called Is Beatle Paul McCartney Really Dead? And that's when it really took off. And Harper, in the end, doesn't actually think Paul McCartney died, but he was reporting these rumors. And he said, at the time that these rumors were coming around, it was like a month after Woodstock. And already we were in this atmosphere of, I don't trust the man. I don't trust the establishment.
Context is so important for these things because
yeah.
Where your brain is at, it really, like, I mean, people will look back on pandemic times and stuff and see how vulnerable we were to in 20 years from now and see, it's just, it really has an effect on how you process the news.
Yeah, so yeah. true. So everyone was ready for any conspiracy theory to be true, which is why everybody got so sucked into it. Oh, they found Paul McCartney, like, when the rumors were starting in 67, and they kind of found him in Scotland and went, everyone says you're dead. And he apparently said, what? I don't agree with that. Which I thought was hilarious.
See, they're so witty, right? All of them are so quick to go kind of fuck you in their own special way. That's part of their charm and how much you love them, because they'll just... Yeah.
And as they were really being interviewed in 69 about it all, and they were already in the process of breaking up, but nobody knew about it. Even John was going, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, and he referred his, remember when he made the bigger than Christ comment?
Yeah, I remember that.
He said the Beatles are more popular than Christ. 6 months later, some reporter pegs it and goes, oh my gosh, and then people start burning albums.
So outrageously blown up. He was being so ironic and so obviously ironic. And he also said it in a way that was kind of like, that's absurd, isn't it? Like, all of you people who are Christians and stuff, don't give us this much importance. Like, he was making a really interesting point, I thought. But there's a certain faction that we all see now that run a certain country that just can't handle anything that has any subtext or irony. They don't get it.
They don't get it. So he was saying, this is... probably the same reporter that blew up my bigger than Christ comment. He was like, how how is that even possible? So I'm just going to go through some of the clues. I can't possibly go through all, but some of the clues
so good, though,
that people said gave it away that Paul was dead. I'm reading now from this website called thisdayinmusic.com, thisdayinmusic.com. The cover of Abbey Road has the four Beatles crossing the road in a manner that is supposed to symbolize a funeral parade. John is wearing white, which is supposed to be the color of mourning in Eastern religions, and Ringo is wearing funeral black. Paul McCartney is out of step and holding his cigarette in his right hand when he is a left-handed person. Imposter.
Get out.
And they also said that George was all in denim, so he must be the Undertaker. So,
and someone was in bare feet.
Yeah, and Paul's in bare feet, which apparently, and this is not true, but everyone was saying in the UK, that's the way they bury their dead. They put them in a nice suit and leave their feet bare. That's what happens in England. So everyone was like, oh my God, it's a sign. That's not true at all. In the background on that Abbey Road cover is a Volkswagen Beetle with the license plate LMW 28IF, 28IF, which is supposed to say, and I'm still quoting, which is supposed to say that Paul would be 28 if he was still alive. Like, he died when he was 27 in 66. If he was alive right now, he'd be 28, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're really buying in, you'll buy that too.
Yep.
As much as it seems a reach, I get it if you're going down that road, the Abbey Road.
The biggest clues appear on the album cover for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Everyone says it's supposed to look like a funeral. And if you've never seen the cover, Google it so that you can follow along with this. But it's a very busy cover with a lot of people's faces on the cover. And it does sort of look like a funeral.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Because there's the Beatles as they were in 64, standing beside the Beatles as they are in 67. And it was supposed to look like a funeral. And it was the Beatles' way of saying, those guys are dead. This is the new Beatles, right? But there's somebody standing behind Paul McCartney, waving. And his open palm is over Paul McCartney's head. And this apparently was an Eastern religious symbol of death, as if you put a palm over someone's head, you're blessing them in death.
Oh, I didn't know this part. Okay.
Everyone thought that. All three have brass instruments in their hand, except for Paul, who has a black wood instrument in his hand.
Wow.
There's a doll on the cover. She's wearing a Rolling Stones jersey, but beside her is a bloody driving glove, like a driving glove with blood
on
it.
Which is I have to go look at this.
You have
again.
To Google Holy it right shit. Now. And it's supposed to represent the glove he was wearing when he died and was decapitated.
Why would they do that, even if it was true, right? Anyway, but it's great, yeah.
And there's a bunch of flowers spelling out the Beatles on what's supposed to be the grave. And also, there's a bunch of yellow flowers that look like a bass guitar. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, and it looks like a left-handed bass, too. I'm like, it's made out of flowers. How can you tell if it's supposed to be left-handed or right-handed? But Paul was the only left-handed player.
Right.
So this yellow bunch of roses that form a guitar has only three strings, which is supposed to represent three Beatles are alive and one is dead.
Okay, I'm looking this up
right now. Oh, my Lord. But my favorite, and this one I did with my sister Kimmy, is that there's a bass drum in the forefront of the picture that says Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The words Lonely Hearts go across the middle. If you hold a mirror perpendicular to the word Lonely Heart, like cut the word Lonely Hearts in half with a mirror, what you see is what looks like the number one, then the word one spelt out, O-N-E, and then Roman numeral nine, 1X.
Okay.
So one, then the word one, then IX, then the word he, the word die.
Okay.
Everyone says that means that on the 9th of November, the 11th month, is when he died. He die, 119. But it's there. Like, I've seen it.
Yeah.
It does like, look like that. But
once you have a belief, you can, like the Bible or
see
whatever,
anything.
You can, yeah, you can find, but it's fascinating that people would work that hard to find those things, right? Like,
I know.
I'm looking at it right now. Okay, yeah, all right, yeah, all right.
See the glove?
I don't see the glove. Where's the glove?
Right beside the doll that's sitting under the fern tree.
Oh, I never noticed that before. Ooh, okay.
Also, do you see these yellow flowers that make the guitar in the forefront?
Yes, I never thought of that as a guitar before.
People also say that it looks like it spells out P-A-U-L question mark.
Backwards or forwards. Oh, I see it. I see it. Okay, P-A-U-L. Okay.
But that's also a three-stringed left-handed guitar, apparently. Wow, but here's one I didn't know, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
On the cover of this album, there's a whole bunch of faces, famous and not.
Yeah.
And I don't know them all, but like
Marilyn Monroe.
James Dean is on there. And that was apparently another clue because he's dead, but people thought he was still alive. Bob Dylan's on there. And they thought that was a clue because there was rumors about Bob Dylan being dead. But somebody on this cover is Stephen Crane.
Huh.
Stephen Crane wrote a short story called The Open Boat. And in The Open Boat, it was a shipwreck where four people make it to the lifeboat and one dies. One of those people dies. So only three survive. And the name of the character that dies in this short story is William or Billy. In Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, you hear them sing, "May I introduce to you the one and only Billy Shears
from Sgt. Pepper's."
So Billy Shears is the name that people said was the name of the imposter that had taken over Paul McCartney's body or space or role or whatever.
Oh my God, the one and only Billy Shears. Holy shit. I've just looked up a whole list of this. Lenny Bruce is there, Mae West is there, W.C. Fields, Carl Jung is there, Edgar Allan Poe, Fred Astaire. This is one little sidebar. There's one, it's old now, but it's a really good rapid fire theater company in Alberta, in Edmonton, which is a improv company. One of their season posters was all of them on that.
Super.
It was just a really good one. It's a gooder.
My face is on that poster from Theater Sports Days.
Oh.
So then we talked about the Abbey Road cover. And then if you look at the cover for the Magical Mystery Tour, it's four of them dressed as animals, three in white animal costumes in the back, and one in a black walrus costume in the front, with his arms out, apparently crucifix style.
Okay.
And apparently, and this has never been validated, black, like a walrus is sort of an Arctic culture symbol of death. A walrus, which no one's actually said, but that's what was going around.
Oh,
and they say also that's Paul in that costume. Turns out it's John. It's not Paul at all. But that everyone's like, he's the black walrus. Also on that cover, the word Beatles is spelled out in stars. If you turn it upside down and read it backwards, it spells out a possible phone number, any one of the phone numbers that you might be able to get, like 537 something, 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 something. And apparently, if you called that number at a particular time on November 9th, you would hear somebody saying, "Oh, you're getting closer," or something.
Ooh, that creeps me out.
This guy in the article said, if you call it in Toronto, it's a home building company that doesn't know anything about the death of Paul McCartney.
Sounds like a lot of people had a lot of time on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
And should have been macrameing pot hangers instead. Yeah. But anyway.
Inside the album sleeve or the photos inside Abbey Road, there's a picture of Paul McCartney dressed kind of weird with a businessman's haircut and a mustache and old man glasses.
Yeah.
It's him. He's just dressed differently, but they're like, that's William Campbell, Billy Shears. Like, he's got two names, the imposter, William Campbell or Billy Shears. And then there's a picture of Paul laying back in the bathtub shampooing his hair. He's surrounded by bubbles. And everyone went, that's the autopsy photo. They're washing his body before the autopsy.
Right.
And National Post talked to some autopsy morticians who said, yeah, we wash the bodies, but not usually in a bubble bath. And also not if their head was decapitated, apparently.
Remember that part? Yeah. I mean, you know, It was madness. It was crazy. People were doing a lot of drugs. These were Rhodes people. And so it's fascinating to hear where it all went. But I have a feeling that Paul McCartney's, those guys were artists too. They were performance artists, right? Like Help was basically a piece of performance art. They probably loved this shit. Let's just see what people are going to do. This was all performance art is what it is. And kind of good for them because it worked. But I kind of want to smack some people and go, come on.
Yeah. No, Paul and John were both going, just let him say it.
Well, like the chicken thing. It's like, well, it's not true, but let's see where this road goes.
Exactly.
Because what great free publicity, just having people take up all of the airwaves talking about us.
Yeah.
In a million different ways. Yeah.
Couple others in the inside pictures of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They're all sitting there in their outfits. Paul has a badge on the side of his outfit that nobody else has that says OPD. Okay. Everyone was like, that means officially pronounced dead. Turns out it was actually a gift from the Ontario Provincial Police. It's their badge. I know.
I love it. I love it. I mean, some of them sound really like some of them.
I know.
But, you know, you kind of go, that makes total sense. And others are like, how long and what kind of mushrooms were you on to figure that one out?
I know. The Beatles' Yesterday and Today album was the one that they had to replace because it had them in lab coats covered in fresh meat and doll parts.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And they couldn't release that in America, and they changed it. And it's the three of them surrounding a steamer trunk, and Paul's actually sitting in the steamer trunk, which apparently is supposed to represent a coffin.
Well, they probably did a few things just to kind of push it along too, just for fun. They're having a good time. They're having fun with this. But I remember that cover with the dolls. I don't remember if my sister had the world's biggest record collection. I don't know if she actually did have it or if I just saw pictures of it. But
I
remember it really.
One of the hardest things to get in the world, I think. Like it's worth millions. Millions of dollars.
Oh, really? Okay, then she didn't. But then I must have seen it because I remember it really clearly.
Yeah, there's pictures of it everywhere. The back cover of Sgt. Pepper's has the four of the Beatles, but Paul McCartney has his back turned. All the rest of them are looking forward, but his back turned. So everyone's like, that must mean he's dead. And then all the lyrics to all their songs are written on the back cover, which is one of the first albums that ever did that. And if you look at George Harrison, he's pointing, and he's pointing right at the lyric, Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, you know, from She's Leaving Home.
Yeah, Wednesday morning at 5. Yeah, we gave her most of our lives.
So everyone's like, he died on a Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock. And guess what? In 1966, November 9th was a Wednesday. Oh, he must have died at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's kind of creepy. Like those things that actually work out kind of like, oh.
The biggest clues, the biggest fun things are the things that you play backwards. So we talked about number nine coming out as
Turn Me on Dead Man. Yeah, I remember that one really clear because everyone used to giggle and talk about that one constantly. Yeah.
There's the end of the song, Strawberry Fields Forever, has the distorted voice of John Lennon saying something. If you hear that supposedly he's saying, I buried Paul, of course that's what you're going to hear because that's apparently what everyone says. He says, I buried Paul. And I hear it and I heard it then and I hear it now. He says he was saying cranberry sauce. That's what John Lennon says he was saying. And one of the press release guys said, no, he was saying, I'm very bored.
Probably saying I'm very bored.
Yeah.
But that's like those, do you see a blue dress or a gold dress? Like, and once it's in your head, you can't unsee what you thought you saw the first time.
Here's this. Randomly interjecting things during recording sessions was a favorite habit of Lennon. This is again from nationalpost.com. At the end of the White Album song, I'm So Tired, Lennon fades out the track with a few seconds of gibberish. Play it backwards, and it does indeed sound like Lennon is saying, Paul is dead, man. Miss him, miss him, miss him. One of the reasons that alleged secret messages were able to gain such traction with fans is because the Beatles did actually have a penchant to put secret messages in their albums, like tit, 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 tit. John Lennon, apparently in the song Glass Onion, sings, here's another clue for you all, the walrus was Paul. At that point with this album, though, they think he was playing into the rumors. I'm going to say the walrus is Paul for all those people that actually still think he's dead.
Well, that makes sense because they were little scamps too. Yeah. So I can totally see them going, oh, let's have some fun with this. And I mean, I would do the same thing. I get that mindset of, you really think that? Okay, how about this then? Like, I totally... Yeah. Get that. I wonder if the baby was that they had then was Stella, the famous designer. I wonder if that was their baby.
It was Mary.
It was Mary. Okay.
It was Mary who was born. Apparently, I didn't know this. After the Beatles breakup, John Lennon composed a hate song against McCartney containing the verse, those freaks was right when they said you was dead. I didn't know that.
Oh, well, ouch. Did they, since you guys are, your family is super knowledgeable about these guys, before John Lennon was assassinated, were they all friends again? Like, did they ever forgive each other for whatever it is they were mad about?
I don't know, because he was killed in 1980.
Something like that, yeah.
No, you know what? My sister would be able to tell you that. Kimmy Beach.
We'll have to ask her.
Write us at thebroadgap@gmail.com and tell us, Kimmy Beach, because.
Were they friends?
Had they reconciled? Who knows?
Who knows?
Here's what I want to do real quick. I am going to pull up the lyrics for She Loves You.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to find clues in here that Paul is dead.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be a fun game.
Can you get the lyrics up there too?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Zila. Okay, full lyrics. Here we go. All right.
You know what? Mine came up in German.
I know, me too.
Why is that? That's freaking hilarious. Okay, here we go.
Okay, I think the first clue is she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's okay. only three yas, not four. So just three Beatles.
Instead of four Beatles. But then the last one, there's yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh,
the last one.
That's an homage.
But the fourth one is, yeah, exactly, saying, here he is. Yeah, 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 Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it's sure. stretched out like a scream of somebody being decapitated in a car. Okay.
You think you've lost your love. Well, that's obvious.
That's completely obvious.
Probably, and you know you should be glad. They're probably trying to say, and you know you should be Paul.
I think so. And also, there's the lyric, I think it's only fair, pride can hurt you to apologize to her. Mm-hmm. If you take the P out of pride, the A out of can, the U out of hurt, and the L out of apologize, it spells Paul.
That's so good. That you're good at this. I'm just like looking for really obvious ones, but you got to get your brain into this conspiracy mindset so you can see all these hidden secrets. Okay, I'm trying to look at things backwards.
Steph, my favorite is with a love like that, you know, you should be Paul.
I'm trying to read things backwards that says Dalgeb Dalosuyunke.
Loss.
There you go.
Loss.
There it is. Loss. Oh my God, this is so fun. Okay. And you know, should we get, oh, you know, it's up to you. Okay. And I think it's only fair.
It's only fair to tell you that Paul's dead.
It says apologize.
Apologize. It doesn't say a John-agize to her. It doesn't say a Ringo-agize to her.
Apologize to her. Right. Oh my God. That one's really sad. But you should be glad.
Do you know what's not a hoax, Steffi?
What is not a hoax?
It is not a hoax that Scam Time is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported.
Nice one.
And I can't thank them enough for giving us a great platform in which we spread more new rumors about Paul McCartney being dead so that the youth of today can grab their mirrors and hold them up to albums and try to find secret messages.
Well, you know what I want to know now, because I don't know what, like, I mean, things like Kanye and all these other, the superstars of today, if anyone knows what the hoaxes are about them, that we haven't heard of, right? And tell us, because I'm sure there must be a whole bunch of Kardashian stories and whatnot about things that aren't true that their fans bought into. Like, not unlike Britney, which ended up being true, all of that whole madness that she went through. But I'd love to hear what celebrity rumors and hoaxes there are that people believe.
What's interesting is one of our first episodes, I talked about the Milli Vanilli lip-syncing scam.
Yes, right?
And yeah. One of these articles I read said, if it was actually true, it would be out by now. If we're in a society that can't even let Milli Vanilli lip sync for 6 months before someone spills the beans, somebody would have spilled the beans by now about Paul McCartney actually being dead.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's interesting. But I mean, there must be some kind of silly, oh, you know what? Why am I even asking this? All the tabloids, that's all they are, is lies. Lies, lies, lies.
Yeah.
It's just that this one's so intricate, and because they didn't have the immediacy that we have now, things could get, like the telephone game that would go on about this stuff could get huge. And, you know, once again, it's everyone's feelings are at stake, right? It's like any other scam. It's like, get to the heart. They loved him with all their hearts. So they wanted nothing more than
And still do, because he's alive. God damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
But these podcasts that I listen to have so many more clues that I haven't even brought up. So if you're inspired, like I was, just go look it up, go listen to these podcasts, go read about all the other potential clues that suggest that Paul McCartney was dead. The most exciting one for me, I thought, that I didn't know, was this Stephen Crane, the author of The Open Boat, being on the front cover of Sgt. Pepper's and him having written a story about
Of the, like, the things like that are like, okay, that one has some cred.
Yeah.
Other things like, there's seven flowers and if you take three away, there's only three left, and that means there's only three Beatles left. Like, those ones just make me go, oh, come on.
There's only three weeds on top of that pile of flowers. Therefore, it's a three-stringed left-handed guitar. Like, oh my Lord.
I know, it's funny.
It's funny. It's worth the good laughs.
We wrecked so many albums playing them backwards, Kimmy and I. Like, we just, we listened to them backwards all the time. Paul is dead. Miss him, miss him, miss him. I buried Paul. Turn Me On Dead Man. We listened to all
I heard
of them.
The Turn Me On Dead Man for sure many, many times. I don't remember if it was at parties or if my sister did it. I can't remember. But I did hear, remember, because I remember the first time I heard it, it was like, oh my God, I hear it. And it freaked me the hell out.
That's a nightmare.
It's really scary.
I know. Hey, do you have information about our socials there?
First of all, I would love to say that if you are a Scam Time listener, please like, subscribe, and give us a smashing review. We would really love you to do that. And we, you know, if you don't like it, just lie. We're fine with that. It's Scam Time after all. Follow us on Twitter at Scam Time. Drop us a line. Tell us a great scammy story of your very own. And on the Instagram, we are fraud.broads, fraud.broads on Instagram. We always have pictures of things that we're talking about on there. So it's fun to go down memory lane and just click on those and see what we talked about and then go find them if you haven't listened to them and listen to them.
And you can email us at thebroadgap@gmail.com, thebroadgap@gmail.com. Tell us if there's a scam you'd like to share with us. Might have you on the podcast to talk about it.
Yeah.
I also want to say a hello to Catherine Miles, who I met the other day and who brought up our podcast and said kind words. So, Catherine, that's
hey,
great.
Catherine.
Hope you aren't brokenhearted to find out Paul McCartney is dead.
Thank you for listening. Love is play two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie. Okay.
Okay.
Here's mine.
Okay.
Paul McCartney is dead. John Lennon is dead. George Harrison is dead.
Which is the truth? Or which is the lie?
Two truths and a lie.
Oh. Right. Paul McCartney isn't dead. So, yeah. Right.
Right. That's the lie. Okay, good.
Unless you believe that he is. Then it's...
Oh, in which case I played it totally wrong.
Okay, now my turn, which is always so hard. Okay. Frank Abagnale is an ex-scammer. Frank Abagnale's son, Scott Abagnale, is an ex-scammer. And I've never been kidnapped.
Frank Abagnale's son is an ex-scammer is the lie.
Yes. Yes. Hooray.
We played it right, both of us.
High fives. High fives all around. Yay.
I adore you.
Awesome. That was great.
I love you. Yeah, love yeah, you too, yeah.
Okay.
I
yeah,
love
you. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you know who else I love? You listeners. You're a good listener.
You're a listener. Who's a good one?
I love you, listener.
I'm squishing your face, listeners.
Yes. Oh, your cheeks,
squeeze your cheeks, squeeze your cheeks, squeeze your cheeks.
We love you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We love you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stephanie.